Balak, start the backstory. So Balak is the king of Moab. Do y'all remember Moab, where that came from? Moab and the Ammonites, what they are? Moab and the Ammonites were the product of Lot's incestuous relationships with his daughters. One birthed the Ammonites, one birthed Moab. God called Moab his washpot in the book of Psalms. God has never been in favor of Moab or of the Ammonites. And the Ammonites are defeated in chapter number 22. And that's really how it kind of begins, is the people of Israel, they ask for permission to go through the land. The king of the Ammonites denies them permission. And so they just take what they want and they begin to march. And they march in there and they destroy that whole country. And so Balak, the king of Moab, sees what's happened to his cousin, the king of the Ammonites, and he says, I don't want that to happen to me. So how can I prevent this? And instead of allowing God's people to move through the land, he decides that he's going to take God's people on. Or actually decides that he's going to take God on. Because see, the Bible tells us that Moses said, stand still, the Lord will fight for you. We don't even have to worry, just like the children of Israel, the battle is not ours. Israel was not worried. Matter of fact, one part in here, God told Moses not to worry about a certain group of people because he said, I've already given them over into your hand. It's already done. The battle's already won. So the people of God, Israelites, were marching through the land, and they come to that place where Moab didn't want them to come in there, and certainly didn't want to lose his country. He didn't want to die. He didn't want to be killed by God's people. And so he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to find the guy that can do. We've often looked at Balaam as a prophet, and I'm not really sure that Balaam is a prophet of God. He's just somebody that God spoke to and through. Because we really don't read anything else about Balaam anywhere else in the Bible other than when Jesus references this story. And so I'm not even sure that I can call Balaam a prophet other than God used him in this moment to speak through him, because the Bible teaches us that Balak brought, and if you go back into chapters 22 and 23, that Balak brings to, I tell you what, let me just go back to you in verse number, I'm about to get ahead of myself where I read that at, and I apologize to you that I hadn't marked the verses that I want. But Balak told Balaam, he said, he sent his princes to get Balaam from where he was, and he brought with him the gifts or the rewards of the enchantments. And so if anything, Balaam was an enchanter, someone who may have been thought to have had divine power. And so Balak, who did not trust in God, did not like God, didn't like God's people, decided that he would go to Balaam and that he would get Balaam to come with him. And the first time he goes to Balaam, he sends some princes down there with the rewards of enchantment. And while he's down there, or while they're down there, Balaam tells him, I'll tell you what, you give me tonight, and I'm going to see what the Lord says to me tonight, and then after that, then we'll go from that tomorrow morning. And so he tries to get a hold of God, and in fact he does, and God answers him, and he says, don't go with him. Don't go with him. So God initially tells Balaam, don't go with Balak or the princes of Balak. Don't even get involved, in a sense, is what we see here. But Balaam decides, at the bidding of Balak again, he decides that he's going to just, well, let me just ask God about it again. Let me tell you something about decision making, if I can use Balaam. An old deacon told me this one time, a long time ago, when I first started pastoring. He said, if you have to think about something for a long time, you probably don't need to do it. Balaam had already been given clear instructions from God. Do not go with the princes of Balak. And so the very next night, he comes to God again. He says, can I go with the princes of Balak? And God tells him this time, go ahead. Now see, we like to twist Scripture and say, well, God gave him permission. Did you know that there is the will of God, and then there is the, if I could say it like this, the permissive will of God? Are y'all okay? There are a lot of things that we do, and they do work for our benefit, that God permitted to happen, and we settle for the second best that God wanted us to have when we could have had God's best had we just not pursued what we thought we wanted more than what God had for us. It boils down to a spirit of lust, if you will, for our own lives, our own well-being. And we think, like Balaam did, that we know better than what God... I want to give you this scripture, because I know I'm kind of... Remember, we started at the end, and now I'm kind of going back through this. I want to give you in chapter 22 and verse number 13... Balaam answers the princes. And he says, and Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. Pretty clear, isn't it? Pretty clear. Verse 15 says, and Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I, watch what he says, for I will promote thee unto very great honor. Isn't it interesting that he appealed to Balaam's pride? If you will come with me, I will give you great honor. Well, you know what went on with great honor back then? I mean, you got great riches. You got seemingly everything you could want in front of you. And he says in verse 17, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. If Balak is saying to Balaam, I want you to come and curse God's people for me. How do you think this is going to turn out? How do you think this is going to end? I want you to turn against God's people, and I want you to curse them. And God had already told him, don't go with them. And listen to what he says in verse number 18. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of my God to do less or more. Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me. What's that next word? More. Do you see what happened? Well, maybe God didn't really mean that when he told me I couldn't go. Maybe the Lord wasn't really saying, he's doing the exact same thing in his mind as we saw happen back all the way back in the Garden of Eden. When the serpent looked at Eve and said, you'll not surely die. Hath the Lord said? This is the way that the devil has worked since the Garden of Eden and continues to. He appeals to your pride. He appeals to our pride. He appeals to what we like to hear. And he gets us to question what God has already said. And so he knows that if he can get us to question what God has already said for us and what God has already told us to do, then he knows that he's got us in a predicament. And so watch this in verse number 20. The Bible says, and now after he's asked, I'm going to see what the Lord will say more to me. Maybe the Lord will discuss things with me and he'll let me go just a little bit further. And so verse number 20, it says, "And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab." Verse 22 comes along, "And God's anger was kindled because he went." Just because something is allowed to happen doesn't mean that that's the way it needed to go. My mind is boggled by this. I can't explain this to you other than the fact that if Balaam would not have sought his own desires and just left it at, "God said I could not go, therefore I'm not going." But he came Balak presented to him again, "Hey, I'm going to set you in a great place of honor. I'm going to make people know you. Here's what I've come to realize about being known. That's just that much more people that's hunting you." I'm going to be honest with you guys. I used to envy almost these men that would preach in these great big meetings and you'd hear about these evangelists that go and they'd preach to crowds of 400 or 500 people. And man, I remember thinking, man, I wished I could do that. I wished I could be up there. I wish that I could preach just one opportunity. I wish that I could be there and do that. And I'm going to tell you, I learned when I got a little bit older that stuff is not for me. Because the bigger the group, let me put it to you this way, more levels, more devils. New levels, new devils. And for even Solomon in all of his greatness in being the wisest man in the world and all the good things that King Solomon did, when King Solomon sinned against God, the Bible says that there was a man that rose up against Solomon. You have perhaps the greatest man that ever lived, one of the most generous men that ever lived, that done all kinds of good for Israel, and he still had enemies. Doesn't matter how good you are. Doesn't matter how good you are to people. It doesn't matter all of these things that you think make you good. There's going to be somebody that's going to get a burr in their saddle for you, and they're going to decide they don't like it. What's going on? And it could be that you're getting blessed a little too much. I got a dear friend of mine. Man, I had two friends growing up. I had more than just two friends. But I had two friends that were special to me when I was growing up. Yes, I did too. I had more than two. They were great guys. They were more alike than what they realized, but they didn't like each other. And here's the crazy thing. They were both born on the same day in August in the same year. They were the same age. But one grew up kind of rough and kind of poor, and the other one grew up with a silver spoon in his mouth. And this one didn't like this one. And this one didn't like this one. And they had nearly identical personalities. They hung out with me. I guess I was the great mediator. I don't know. But I remember I couldn't hang out with this guy if I was hanging out with this guy. Because this guy said, well, that guy, he's rich and I don't like him. He never took time to get to know him. And this guy said, well, man, that guy's a jerk. Every time I'm around him, he don't even talk to me. And so they wouldn't hang out with each other. But I love them both. To this day, love them both. You know what? Neither one of them's in church right now. It's heartbreaking. But they never took the time to really get to find out about each other. And I believe that they missed out on a lot of that. And I'm going to be honest with you, too. I just lost track of where I was going with all that. So maybe that story was free. But God had already told Balaam to stay where he was and not do anything. And Balaam sought out his own pride and his own desires. And so the Bible says in verse number 21 that he rose up in the morning, he saddled his ass, and he went with the princes of Moab, and God got mad with them. The anger of the Lord was kindled. And so you guys, I believe, know the story. How about we read it? Y'all want to read it? We got plenty of time, don't we? It's only 7:59. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way of the stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into a field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. What? Y'all might be reading this for the very first time, some of you. That's great, because I hope it'll pique more interest, because this is one of the most incredible stories, but there's a lot more good stuff in the Word of God. And she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" Can I wander off just a little bit? That right there lets me know that animals do have thoughts. I'll leave that there. Y'all okay? I guess I should have done a time out, a time in there. Verse 29, "And Balaam said unto the ass, Because thou hast mocked me, I would therefore were a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee." This man has had this animal since it was born. We're about to read that. And because it ain't acting right, he's ready to kill it. Now, we like to think that we're pretty far removed from being like Balaam. But when was the last time you got upset with an animal? We had a rooster. His name was Charlie. Charlie was mean as the devil. He's mean to everybody. He didn't like the hens. He didn't like the other roosters. He sure didn't like Miss Tara. And he utterly loathed me. And that rascal would bend his head down and flare his neck feathers. And he was always fairly easy around Lane. And so Lane kind of took a liking to him and would let him get near him. And one day, Lane bent over doing something, and that rooster got him. It was the last time that rooster got him. And not because I got a hold of him, but because Lane, who actually liked him, got a hold of him. I said, "What'd you do, boy?" He said, "Daddy, I hit him with a shovel." How you tell your 8-year-old he did the wrong thing? I mean, he was getting attacked by a rooster. He took care of business. And I won't never forget this. That boy walked in the house and he said, this is what he said about that goofy rooster. He said, "I thought we was friends." Thought we was friends. But it didn't take but one attack for him to turn his back on him, for him to get upset with it. So, yeah, I can kind of see, using that principle, I can kind of see how Balaam must have felt here. "Man, you done crushed my foot, you stupid donkey. I'm about to kill you." I know that ain't popular, and it sure ain't politically correct, but it'll preach. That's what was happening here. Verse number 30 says, "And the ass said unto Balaam, Am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden? Ever since I was thine unto this day, was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, Nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me." The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. If he had stayed at home like God told him to, he wouldn't have had a crushed foot. And he wouldn't have been wanting to kill his donkey. And he wouldn't be going through all this emotional distress if he had stayed where God told him to stay. Why is it that we think we can step outside of the will of God and still have the blessings of God on our life? I don't understand what it is in our psyche that makes us think that we can do whatever we want, go where we want, say what we want, act how we want, and have total disregard for the commandments of the Lord and then expect God to bless us over and over again. God's blessings operate on His goodness, not on what we want. This is what's going on with old Balaam. I mean, there's a lot here. Verse 33 says, "And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive." Balaam didn't realize how close to death he was. He was so close to death that God opened the mouth of a donkey to speak, to get him. I mean, that's a pretty clear and apparent thing for God to do. But God should have never had to open the donkey's mouth. "The ass saw me and turned from thee these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her life. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned." You got that right, Balaam. You sure did. "For I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me." We have the ability to disillusion ourselves to the commandment of God. Especially when it comes to our desires or our pride being stoked or something along those lines, if we think that it's best for us, we somewhat turn a blind eye. Now he said, "I've sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me." But you go back a little while, and Balaam rose up early in the morning and said unto the prince of Balaam, "Get you in your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you." "Well, I didn't know you were standing in the way." Yeah, you did. Sure you did. "I will get me back again." Verse 35, "And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, Go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. And when Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him unto a city of Moab, which is in the border of Arnon, which is in the utmost coast. And Balak said unto Balaam, Did I not earnestly send thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am I not able indeed to promote thee to honor?" I have often wondered, as Balaam stood there with a sore foot, if he was really still concerned about getting the honor that Balak could give to him. I don't think he was. Balak goes on to make an offering, but not to God, to Baal. The Lord's pretty upset about that. Chapter 23 tells us about Balak and Balaam's sacrifice. And it was a sacrifice that was not for the Lord. Balak wants Israel to be cursed. And so then we come to where we began. Now that you know all this has happened, which I know you guys are Bible readers and you knew that already. Maybe I showed you something you'd never seen before. I don't know. Balak is upset because Balaam finally starts following the Lord. And he speaks blessings over Israel. See, in the first part of 23, they sacrifice, and then Balaam looks out and he sees all of Israel camping. And they're set up by their families. I don't know how he could distinguish it. I don't know if the tents were different or if they had maybe banners or flags that said the tribe of Reuben or tribe of Judah or what. I don't know. I don't know how it was distinguished, but I know that he could see them sitting out there by their families, and that was enough to get the king of Moab upset with what was going on. And so he thought his only defense was to get this enchanter to come and curse God's people. And he blesses them. Not once, not twice, but three times. Three times. He blessed him. Three times Balaam stood up trying to do what Balak wanted him to do. And all three times it didn't work. Going back to chapter 24 and verse number 10. I know y'all hear me say this. I don't want to lie in the pulpit. I'll be done in just a couple minutes. Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam. And he smote his hands together, and Balak said unto Balaam, I called thee to curse mine enemies. Behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor. But lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. Balak has flipped the script of what he was talking about. Isn't it amazing how quick that he turned his back on him? Isn't it interesting how fast that he wanted so bad, so much so that he sent gifts and he sent his princes down there to get him. He wanted to promote him to honor. Did he really want to promote him to honor? Look, the devil will say this to you too. If you go ahead and do this, that, whatever, it'll put you in the right position. If you'll go out on a limb and pursue this, if you go pursue him or pursue her, you'll have this, you'll have that. See, the devil paints a mighty fine picture of the world's honor and how good it looks and how good it feels. But boy, when you don't do what they want you to do, they are quick to turn their back on you and tell you to get on out of here. You better flee. He was standing right next to him. Why didn't he just kill him? I mean, why did he give him an opportunity to run? I think old Balak knew that his days were numbered. God goes on to use Balaam to prophesy about the demise of Moab. And it came to be. there are times in our lives where God will do things for us, will bless us. But He blesses us so that we will give Him glory, not so that it will appeal to our pride. This is something, if I can be transparent, that's something that I battle all the time. I trip over my own feet and have more pride than anything. My pride will tell me, you can go, if I can use running again, y'all know that's my favorite thing to talk about. Go a little faster. The faster you go, the harder you fall. The quicker you fall. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I don't want to be there. But I know that the devil appeals to those things in my life just like he does yours. He flipped it on him. He told him to flee. I was going to promote you to great honor. And then he blames the Lord. The Lord hath kept thee back from this great honor that I was going to give you. I can assure you of one thing, Balak. The honor that you have pales in comparison to the blessings of the Lord in my life. Don't trade your gold for polished brass. It might look good for a little while, but it's going to tarnish. It might be nice for a little while, but the script's going to flip. And that old wicked one will say, the Lord's doing this to you. Have you so confused? Old Balaam remembered from the beginning, though, what God had said. He said, I can only speak what the Lord wants me to. Whatever it is we're facing, maybe this message meant for me, I don't know. Whatever it is as a church we're facing, let's remember what God tells us to do from the get-go and not in other areas, or not go after the honors and the worldly recognition, things of that nature. All right, I think I'm done. Y'all sit here so quiet and nice, smiled at me. I love you guys, and I'm grateful for each and every one of you here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you again, Lord, for just giving to us from your word. Thank you for what you're doing in my heart and in my life. I pray, God, that you would help and that you will lead, guide, and direct me. God, make me the husband and the dad and the pastor that I need to be. Guide me, Lord. Guide our church. Guide our home. Guide our family. Lord, just teach us your way. Help us, Lord, to look to you. Father, bless all the families that it takes to make up our church. Go with us as we go our separate ways. Lord, meet back here with us and help us, Lord, on Sundays. Help every ministry that we have, use it for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. God bless you. You're dismissed.